Let's start that third hour. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Continuing with my side hustle, the Jim Rome Podcast, episode 132, goes out later on today. And again, I'm proud of that number. I'm proud of that product. Old man Ritt booking his ass off. Doing a great job. Jimmy Connors and his son Brett Connors are going to appear on the program today. So we'll talk some tennis and more. It's a really good one. I know because I've already done it. We'll push that out after the program. Tennessee Titans safety Kevin Byard is going to join me momentarily. We are efforting him. We have found him. So if you're on hold, stay there. I've got time. I've got time, and I've got a need and a desire to bank telephone calls after this. But we are joined by a safety for the Titans. He is an all-pro. He is a pro bowler. He led the NFL in interceptions in 2017. 91 tackles, 5 INTs, 10 passes defense last season. He was a two-time all-conference player at Middle Tennessee. He was the 64th pick overall in 2016. Kevin Byard is my guest. Kevin, there are a lot of things that I want to talk to you about, but before we do that, bring me up to date. How are you and your family doing right now in the middle of everything that's going on, Kevin?
I'm doing well, Jim. I appreciate you asking. Thanks for having me. Me and my family's doing well. I have a 9-month daughter. She's doing well, growing, showing me something new every single day. But my family's safe. I have family in Atlanta and Philadelphia as well, and they're also safe. So the family's doing well. Like you said, with all the stuff that's going on around, you know, just trying to find our best way to, you know, stay connected as a family and just try to love on each other.
Excellent. Kevin Byard joining us. Speaking of family, the other day, Kevin, you shared a photo on social media of your mom in front of a new home, and the caption read, "When you come from where I come from, stuff like this is a pipe dream that only a few are able to accomplish. I hate that we couldn't be there, but I'm more happy that everything worked itself out. I love you, Mom, and enjoy your new forever home." End of quote. What did it mean for you to be able to make that pipe dream a reality?
I mean, it's honestly something that, you know, I think 10 years, 20 years down the road is going to mean even more to me now, because just like I said in the caption, like, when I actually sit back and think about it, you know, to be able to bless my mom with a home, forever home, to be able to do those things for my family, those are type of things that when, you know, you're a kid growing up, you know, in an African-American community, those are things that's kind of instilled with you, you know, because a lot of times, most of my friends, most people I grew up around, you know, single parent households, single mother. So that's something that you always want to do. You always want to reward your mother for doing the things that she's done for you growing up. And that's what everybody says. You know, everybody growing up, I want to buy my mom a house, I want to take care of my mom, I want to make sure I can do those things. But it doesn't usually happen. It doesn't usually happen like that. So for me to be able to accomplish those things, especially at the age that I am, I mean, obviously I'm a football player, but in my opinion, for me to do this as young as I am, to be able to do that for my mom, it's truly special.
It really is, Kevin. I think there's two things going on here. Number one, I think to your point, a lot of people want to do it, but so few are actually able to do it. And then even right. If you are able to do it, I think people look at that like, yeah, well, he's got so much money. Of course he did that. There's so much more that goes into this. For instance, when you were a teenager, you moved from Philadelphia to Atlanta with your mom and your brothers and sisters. She worked two jobs. You and your older brother would hustle home after school to take care of your younger siblings. What were those days like for you?
I mean, those were definitely humbling days. Times where, you know, the vision that I have now and the things I've been able to accomplish now was definitely a lot blurry back then. You know, we was trying to pretty much in survival mode, trying to do what I can, me and my oldest brother, to help out my mom, you know, the little that we could around the house with the kids, giving those guys together while, you know, my mom was out working, coming home later at night. But, it was tough, man. But I would say it was a blessing. You know, I had a big family. So, you know, the house was never quiet. I always had my big brother. So it was definitely good times, but it was bad times as well. So, but one thing I will say that I wouldn't want to change anything for the world, because it made me who the man that I am today, and it's been working for me.
And part of that's got to be your mom, right? I mean, you have a role model and an example in your mother. How much did you learn about work ethic and drive and grit from your mom?
I mean, just a ton. I mean, like I said, I mean, when I think about it today, like I said, I have a daughter now. I have a 9-year-old daughter, 9-month-old daughter, I'm sorry. And just thinking about it, like, you know, she raised 7 of us. You know what I'm saying? She did 7.
Right.
Had 7 kids. And the majority of the time, you know, she was kind of on her own. So I'm thinking, like, wow, how was she able to do those things? Have the patience, you know, have the you know, the strive, the grit, you know, all those type of different things to get up every single morning, you know, to feed us, clothe us, and all those different things, you know, you can't really put, you know, a value on that. You know, so you can't really put a value or a price tag because it's priceless. So like I said, man, I've learned so much from her just by watching her on the daily, stuff that I just picked up that I know for sure is helping me out today.
Kevin Byard is joining us. I can relate. Well, then again, I can't relate. I was going to say, I have to put food on the table and clothe two boys. I can only imagine what that must have been like for your mom to do most of that by herself with seven. So this is a huge Brian Dawkins house. Kevin, I know growing up you were a huge fan of his, and mm-hmm. I love the guy. I've always loved the guy. What do you like about his game, and what did you learn from watching Brian Dawkins play?
I think one of the probably the main thing that I like from his game is just his intensity. I think something that I try to take for myself just for him, you know, he was definitely a very spiritual guy. He's a guy who didn't cuss or anything like that. But the intensity that he showed, you know, day in and day out from game, whether it was a motivational speech before a game that I watched on YouTube, you know, motivational videos and things like that, or just, you know, his intensity, the way he played on the field, the way he tackled, just everything he'd done. And then, man, honestly, the guy was just an all-around ball player. If you look at his stats, man, I mean, the guy had sacks. He had interceptions. He had everything. I mean, blocking punts, all type of different things. So just a great all-around player, but also just a great all-around guy. Just a perfect role model to want to follow.
We're talking to Kevin Byard. Clearly, you have put in the time and studied him. And then speaking of studying guys, Tyrann Mathieu said earlier this offseason, you are one of the guys that he studies. First off, what does it mean to hear that from a guy like that, a great player like that? And then who are the guys that you study?
Yeah, Tyrann Mathieu is definitely one that's up there for sure if we're talking about the guy that I study. Much respect to him. I mean, a guy that just won a Super Bowl. I mean, the run that those guys had, especially later in the year, you know, because we've actually played those guys, beat them. And then after that, I mean, those guys made a run. He was one of the leaders of the defense during that time. But he's a great player. I watch him every single week. Honestly, you know, Kenny Vaccaro, a safety I play with, we talk about all the time. You know, it's a ton of safety that I watch every single week, whether if it's Tyrann Mathieu. I like to watch Jamal Adams, Derwin James. It's a ton. I don't want to, you know, not say anybody, but like I said, Harrison Smith, Anthony Harris, those boys, Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson. It's a list that goes on. But I like to tune in and watch guys every single week, not necessarily to peep, you know, how they're playing and stuff like that, but just to, you know, it's not a competition or anything like that. But at the same time, just the respect of those guys and see how they're playing, you know, see the different things they're doing. It's a fun thing. I like to keep up with everybody.
You know, all great players. So in your mind, what's it take to be a great safety? Is it about physical ability or is it about the mental side of the game and the knowledge of the opposing defense?
I mean, it's definitely both. I would say it's definitely more physical than mental, though, because I think, honestly, a saying that I always tell guys that, you know, God don't always give you everything. You know, he don't always give you 6'5 height. You know, everybody can't run a 4'3". But I think at the safety position, knowing what you have, knowing what God bless you with, and be able to work with those things. Because, like I said, some guys can't be 4'3". Some guys can't, you know, jump super high. But being able to work with what you have and understanding that, hey, you know, playing with great technique and those different things can always be better for you. But the mental side, I mean, studying film, just really always trying to add stuff to your game. If you feel like you're a really good cover guy, you know, work on your blitz or, you know, that's the type of things that I do. If I feel like it's something I'm really good at, I try to work on my weaknesses. So trying to be an all-around great player, I think, you know.
Kevin Byard joining us. Absolutely. So what about this offseason? Because it's so unusual. I know you've been getting after it in the gym with your trainer, Jason Spray, and you're moving some big weight. But how are you approaching the really unusual aspects of the offseason and the fact that it's been really hard to get to gyms and the facilities?
Yeah, I mean, it's been tough. It's been a blessing that I've been able to work out with Spray. We've been able to get field and weight room stuff in at the same time, so I've been able to do that. But, you know, especially in the beginning of the offseason, it was tough. I was a Peloton rider pretty much every single day, just making sure I'm staying in condition and staying in shape. You know, it's been tough trying to navigate, you know, if I'm trying to get massages or trying to go do Pilates and those different things where, like I said, we're trying to be social distancing and, you know, different businesses are closed. So that's been tough. But as far as, you know, trying to get those conditioning and working out, I feel like that's one of the things that's going to take me to the next level this offseason because I feel like, you know, somebody may be having trouble trying to find a place to work out and stuff, but I've been able to do that. So I'm trying to make sure that I'm staying on top of my game and, you know, trying to keep that edge.
Hey, Kevin, my Peloton is keeping me sane. Like, I don't know where I'd be without that thing. What do you like about that bike? What do you get out of riding a Peloton?
All right, so honestly, before I bought the Peloton, so I bought the Peloton for my wife when we had the baby last year. So I bought the Peloton for her. And I'm not a cycler at all. I don't really like cycling. I'm not the type of guy that can just go into a gym and hop on one of the cycle bikes that just have one of those little desert trails. I don't like it. It's boring to me. I can only do maybe 15, 20 minutes. But the Peloton is a different aspect because it's kind of competitive. You know, you have an instructor, you have a class, and you're all kind of working out together. So it's kind of like it kind of gives you that extra motivation to keep going hard. And I enjoy it. I do 30-minute rides. I do 45-minute rides. So like I said, I didn't enjoy it before.
Yeah, Kevin, I feel you. Like, I made the point myself. I do the 45-minute ride every single time. And I'm telling you, I'll go out there, even if I get a personal record, it only puts me, like, in the upper 25% of the class. I mean, there are some folks doing this. There are no joke. It's kind of demoralizing in a way, but you keep trying. But there are some people doing it that are really good.
Exactly, exactly. But like I said, it's fun. It's a competitive thing. And I look at it like, you know, it keeps me in shape, it keeps me conditioned. And it's something that I can do multiple times a day. It's not like I can get one Peloton ride in, hop in the shower, you know, it's at my house, and I can jump back on it later on today. So it's pretty cool.
Kevin Byard is joining us. Now, you were a captain last season. A number of the other captains from last season have moved on. You know it's a part of the business, but how much does your role change this year? I mean, do you feel like people are going to look to you to lead even more than they have in the past?
Yeah, most definitely. Just like you said, it's a business. I was a captain last year. It was an honor. I mean, when I actually look at the guys who I was captains with, you know, Marcus Mariota, Jarrell Casey, Wesley Woodyard, all those guys, you know, they're moved on, but they were, you know, veterans. You know, you're talking about Wesley Woodyard, 10-year vet. Jarrell's going to his 10th year. So, and I kind of felt like the young guy out there. So, but no, going into this year, you know, my leadership role, I feel like was already maturing, but I know for a fact that, you know, my coaches from everybody on the team, from top to bottom, is going to look for me for more leadership. And I'll definitely, you know, we have guys that are definitely, you know, they'll step up and they'll continue to do what they're doing. But for me personally, that's something that, you know, I worked on last offseason, but this offseason, just taking to the next level, trying to continue to be that great leader, for the, not just for the team, for the entire franchise, honestly.
Kevin Byard joining me for a couple of more moments. Now, last season included that great run to the AFC Championship game. When you get that close to a Super Bowl and you come up just short, how much does that motivate you for this season?
Man, it's crazy. Just even my mentality just going into this year, you know, so the past few years since I've been with the Titans, there's always been a deal about respect and trying to go out there and earn respect. And, you know, the media's not respecting us and different things like that. But, you know, just like you said, we went to the AFC Championship game last year, and I'm still kind of on that mentality where, as though, let's not be out here trying to, you know, let's not fall for it. Let's not fall for, you know, everybody talking about the Titans now because we went to the AFC Championship game. You know, we still haven't done anything. We haven't accomplished anything. Honestly, I kind of felt like the fact that we didn't go to the Super Bowl, which is the main goal, you know, the season wasn't, you know, it wasn't a success, you know, in simplicity terms. So The way I kind of look at it, I want guys to understand that, hey, we haven't accomplished anything. We were so close to that goal, but, you know, we understand this business. There's no guarantee that we're going to get back there. So we have to start off from ground zero, rebuild the foundation, making sure we're doing the things that got us there last year. But, you know, you kind of have to restart the process every single year. So that's kind of my mentality. That's something I, you know, try to preach to the guys.
Kevin Byard, my guest. Listen, before you go, you recently retweeted that great video from Emmanuel Acho that is the first in a series of episodes titled Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. How many of these conversations are taking place in locker rooms, and are white players generally open to having the uncomfortable conversation?
You know, that's a great question. It's crazy because, you know, when things like this happen, you know, first and foremost, my condolences go out to George Floyd and his family. You know, when things like this happen, those conversations definitely spark up. It's something that's, you know, it tend to be uncomfortable, but I think it's something that needs to happen. You know, just even just recently, you know, our locker room and our staff and everybody, we're all having conversations, really great conversations. And I think that's good. And I honestly, the fact that I retweeted the video, it's because I feel as though, you know, in today's time, you know, I think education is the most important thing because a lot of times we're out here searching for answers. Everybody's looking for ways they can help and ways they can do different things like that. But if you educate yourself on, you know, the history of, you know, black people or you know, anybody, just the history, if you really understand what's going on, understand the 400 years of slavery, the 99 years of Jim Crow, all those things, you will have more understanding of what's going on or, you know, why this is going on, why people are so upset with police brutality, and then you'll be able to be more empathetic with what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of my deal and why I retweeted, because I think it's a beautiful thing. It's all about education. You have Google. You have so much information out there where if we educate ourselves on what's going on, and also when I talk to my people, you know, black people, you know, if you educate yourself on what's going on, know who you are, you'll be able to find ways to be able to advance yourself, you know, talk to your family, find ways to continue to advance and advance our race, honestly, and continue to go and do everything in love, you know, hate doesn't cure anything. Do everything in love and love one another, no matter what race you are. That's my message.
He is an all-pro. He is a pro bowler, and that's a very important message. Led the NFL in interceptions in 2017. Safety, Kevin Byard, our guest. Kevin, great to run you down. Thank you very much. Always good to talk to you on this show, and I hope we can do it again soon.
Oh, yes, sir. Thanks, Jerome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate you. Kevin Byard's a great player, great leader, great teammate. And, you know, you see athletes or people who come up who had a tough upbringing try to give back to their parents or a single parent. And you see it sometimes, and it doesn't really resonate because, like, you've seen it before. And, oh, of course he has the means. If I had those means, I would do the same thing. But you don't really know what that person went through in order to get to that spot. And then if you know that, you can really appreciate that it's more than just a gesture from somebody who's got a lot of money now and can afford to. Yeah, but there's a reason he can afford to. Because of the sacrifices made by those around him and the ones he made himself. It's got to be the most amazing feeling to have a mother work that hard, that long, and then to be able to repay that and give back. All right, when we return, I will open it up to you. Also, I want to talk about Major League Baseball. Is there going to be a season? When is it going to start? How long is it going to be? And could this notion of a 50-game season, a Major League Baseball season of only 50 games, could that really work? Maybe better than you think. And we did our player profile already. Hey, I wouldn't mind giving out a golden ticket. That could still happen. 1-800-636-8686. Your phone calls when we return.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
For the ones who get it done, there is Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, plus 24/7 customer support and product specialists, always ready to answer any question. So you want to call or visit Grainger.com. Grainger.com. I'm looking at the call screen. There's at least one person who feels like they've got what it takes to get in the field. All right, we'll find out in a minute. Let me talk about Gronk. Rob Gronkowski. So, big Gronk, he's a lot of things now. Surefire Hall of Fame tight end, 3-time Super Bowl champ, Bill Belichick survivor, lovable meathead, party animal, TV host, current Tampa Bay Buck. A lot of things. Notice the one thing that I did not say. I did not say WWE 24/7 champion. And the reason I did not say that is because the former champ lost his strap yesterday. And he lost it while filming an outdoor workout for TikTok. I'm going to stop right there. Let me stop right there. The hell did I just say? Was that even English? Rob Gronkowski lost his WWE championship belt while filming an outdoor workout for TikTok. Only in 2020... could a middle-aged dude spit that kind of a sentence and not wind up in a Steve Buscemi meme?
How do you do, fellow kids?
But if you have been paying attention to the ballad of Rob Gronkowski, then you might have missed, if you haven't been paying attention, you may have missed when he spun a WrestleMania hosting gig into a WrestleMania title-winning pin job on Mojo Rawley back in April.
Rob Gronkowski's up on the perch.
Don't do it, Gronk.
Oh, my God. Gronk took out everyone. Gronk is covering Mojo. Gronk is the 24/7 champion.
Rob Gronkowski just pinned his best friend Mojo to win the 24/7 title.
Such a stunning development. That was the sound of Gronk dropping from a platform and knocking out a dozen pro wrestlers to rip the 24/7 belt from Mojo. Now, that strap is not named like that by accident. It's called the 24/7 belt because you are required to defend it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Of course, that's a stipulation that instantly and obviously became very complicated when Gronk announced his return to the NFL a couple of months back. Because now you've got a WWE champ, likely under a football contract that would prevent him from wrestling. and defending an onslaught of surprise attacks, right? Those things are not congruent. That guy can't be the 24/7 champ while playing for the Bucks. But it was thrown out there by his brother Chris back in May. Then maybe what should happen is the WWE should write a storyline that does integrate the NFL.
You know what I'm excited about is if the WWE can somehow intertwine it with this year, it would be amazing if like Brady took the belt from you or something like that, or like one, some of the players teamed up. Or
imagine like coming out of the meeting room, I'm looking to my left in the hallway, coming out of the tight end meeting room, and then all of a sudden Coach Arians just comes out of nowhere with a flying elbow, takes me out and pins me and becomes the 24/7 champ.
You're going to be surrounded by refs out there on the field. I mean, you got to watch your back at all times. I mean, what if you Gronk spike in the end zone and some dude comes up on the opposite team and tries to take you out to get the belt?
The first family, the Gronks. Gronk getting pinned and losing his belt in the middle of an NFL game would be about the most Gronk thing ever. Maybe even the defining moment of his career. And that's saying a lot considering he might be the best tight end ever. But if something seems or if something sounds too good to be true, generally it is. And instead, Gronk already lost his belt. And it happened yesterday when R-Truth Killings disguised himself as a gardener at Gronk's house. And he pinned the champ in his own backyard.
Yo, Goon, this TikTok dance is going to be epic, man.
It's going to go viral, bro.
Wait a second. Who is this guy?
He's just flipping mulch. Don't worry about him.
Okay. Wait a second. Wait a minute. You can't get the touchdown if you don't flip your mouth, Mr. Rob Gronkowski. Seriously?
You gotta be serious, man. You got a new career started. Come on, let's go. You're with the Bucks now. Come on, let's do this.
Hey, wait a minute. Who's that guy?
Wait a minute.
He's nobody. He's just, quote, flipping mulch.
Wait a minute.
If you didn't know what that was and we played that game, identify this sound, what do you think that would have been? What would you have guessed?
Wait a minute.
And what I just played and what you can see on video, if you Google around, is the worst writing that the WWE has put on paper since they had The Undertaker throw Luke Gallows off a roof and then tombstone Carl Anderson into a coma. Shout out to the Good Brothers. Remember, Carl Anderson told me on the program, quote, if we lose, it's fake. If we win, it's real. Well, I know, Good Brother. Tell me something I don't already know. Hell yes, if you lose, it's fake, and if you win, it's real. So I've been living that pseudo kayfabe lifestyle ever since. But no surprise, the WWE's lacked any creativity since the Good Bros left. Now the WWE does not have Carl Anderson. It does not have Luke Gallows. And it does not have Gronk, who not only lost his belt Monday, but also asked to be released from his wrestling contract. Which leads me to this. In regards to my interest in the WWE, I know a lot of you fans were pretty hyped that I was talking about it on the program, that I had an interest. Well, let me update you on my interest now in the WWE. I think I'll quote myself right now when I say, I'm out.
I think what I'm supposed to say is, thank you, I'm out.
I'm out.
Wait a minute!
Let's go to Tulsa. All right, now this guy told Adam Hawk, I'm here to put the entire field on blast. It's my time. I'm ready. Man, I hope so. I would love to see some new blood. Let's go to Tulsa. Adam. Hey, Adam, how are you?
I'm doing great, Snagger. How are you doing today,
bud? Really good. Thanks.
Good to hear. Hey, man, I'm calling you from the armpit of Oklahoma. I am in a freaking honky-tonk called Candy's. I worked at freaking sales grind, my man. I'm already done with my day. It's beer 30 here.
I love it. What are you selling?
Industrial electronic equipment and supplies, my man. Don't try to say that five times fast.
No, I won't. Do you have a list of prospects, or do you cold call? What's your day look like?
A little bit of both, but it's fishbowl time, Romy.
Yeah, man,
it's fishbowl time, my friend.
All right, so what do you got for me?
Well, honestly, okay, when it comes to the entire field, I got to say, it comes to Pete and Repeat. I love the compilations that Hawk and the rest of the XR4TI are putting together for everybody, but I got to say, it reads like 1980s Mad Libs. I know that you guys are writers and readers, all right? You guys prep for the smack off. But let's not prep so hard, all right? Let's get away from the metaphors. You sound like this, we sound like that, whatever. Please, come with something original. Like, I incredibly miss the Slam Man being in the smack-off, because he would at least come with heat that wasn't just Pete and Repeat metaphors, man. It's the best. And I got to say, I feel like the field has devolved into a human centipede of stupidity with Silk Bra out front, because at least Silk Bra was original and honest and open with the fact that he's just a beach bumped burnout. You know, I mean, God bless him for being him for as long as he has been. But I got to say, everybody else is just faking the field and behind him in the line of the centipede. So anyway, I appreciate the Vine. Thank you for giving me some time. I'm going to keep rocking it out here in Oklahoma and getting my grind on here at Candy's. Y'all boys be good, stay safe, and everybody wear your mask and wash your hands. I'm out.
All right, bro. Appreciate that. I hope you're better at moving your product than you are calling my show. Sorry about that, Adam. Except when a guy comes on and says, I'm here to put the entire field on blast. I'm here to let all of you know the way it's really going to go. I'm here to put you on notice. And then you say nothing. You do nothing, you say nothing. Let me tell you something. All these guys, Rome, everybody, all of them are nothing but centipedes. Oh, damn. Put them in. If you're going to put the entire field on blast, if you're coming for everybody, maybe you mention somebody other than Silk. And that was actually kind of a backhanded compliment. All right, so that didn't work. I mean, I appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate you having my back, and I know you've been listening. He mentioned the Slam Man. That was Jay Moore. Jay Moore, back in the day, did appear in the Smackoffs. He and Vic were beefing hard. We saw Vic's dark side back in the day when that was going down. Vic gets really nasty. And he has won the thing before. That you tend to forget, at that time, Vic was one of the more polarizing callers ever. And the fact that he rocked that crown for an entire year was not a good year for some of you. You never know. Silk had it for a year. Vic had it for a year. Brad's won it five times. The Calvinations won it five times. Lef has won it twice. Mike in Indy, who knows if and when he'll show. He has won it. We've done it 25 times. 14 people have won. This is how select that group is. Even getting an invite is near impossible. Winning it, the odds of winning it are infinitesimal. You got to be Brad. You got to be Rick. Rick's never won. He came in second last year. All right, and I'm still giving away golden tickets. In fact, you know what? Because it's such a challenging time, I've kind of lost track of this. What I should be doing, instead of giving them away, is taking them away. I'm looking at you, Danica. Even Salty Sarah, when I called her out, she called back after winning a golden ticket, and she made it through her call, and she kept hers. All right, when we return. Oh, there's a guy who lost his. He wants back in. No names mentioned. 1-800-636-8686. Quick reminder, we've got the Jim Rome podcast coming up later today. If you're subscribed, you don't need to sweat it. It will find you. If not, you want to subscribe. Jimmy Connors and his son Brett are my guests on Ep 132. hit the ATP real quick. Time to answer your question. It's the Ask the Pros question, where you submit a question to me at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. And as you know, it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, for all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Philly is in. Gerald in Philly asks, now that S Creek is over, what are you binging on these days? Gerald in Philly. Man, good question. I don't have a new show. I mean, I know what shows people are binging on, three or four right now. Does anybody have a recommendation? Hit me up. What show should I binge on? I love Bleeps Creek. Such a good show. It's not for everybody. I loved it, though. Absolutely loved it. No, I need a new show. So, Gerald, I have no answer for you. What is a show that I should binge on right now? Somebody hit me up. And I've got the different platforms, so I can do it. I'm a Netflix guy, Apple TV, you know, whatever. I'll take your thoughts. Gerald, how about you? Let me turn that around. Let me answer your question with a question. What are you binging on? Hey, Adam, really quickly. Who did we bump in with? We had a smack-off video. Who did we bump in with?
Jesse in Australia.
Oh, okay.
Which is really cool. Jesse in Australia.
Incredible.
Yeah, my favorite part about that video is a guy in Australia can find the show, but we still have people in SoCal complaining that they can't find it.
Yeah, right.
It's awesome.
That's your favorite part? That's my least favorite part of that.
I love that the
guy in Australia can find me, but a guy in the Valley can't.
Well, I love that he knows how to use the internet, and people in Southern California don't know how to find the stream, find satellite, find the website, find the 10 different ways we give them besides terrestrial radio.
Is it because he's under the age of 150?
That could be it.
All right.
He looked good. Nice big beard.
Hey, SoCal, there's somebody in Australia who found us. All right, so you had a phone call earlier today off air. Who was it from?
Kelly Rudy, who was on the show a couple of days ago, and he just wanted to thank you and pass on a message that he's never gotten more reaction to a single interview he's ever done than he did on this show, and that it's just been amazing, and that it meant a lot to him and to his daughter. The conversation was about mental health, and he says he's been hearing about this interview ever since he did it, and he was so fired up that he called back to say that on the hotline, which was really cool.
That does not happen very often.
Yeah, first time it's happened in the 3.5 years I've been here, where a guest will call back a few days later to say, I can't stop hearing about that interview from other people. Please tell Jim I say thank you for the stage and for the opportunity.
That is such a nice phone call, and I've always been a huge Kelly Rudy fan. When he played, since he stopped playing, he's great. He's awesome. Listen, in terms of the videos, if they want to send us a video, can they still do that? And if so, how?
Yeah, absolutely. SmackOffVideos@gmail.com. SmackOffVideos@gmail.com. Got a lot of good ones so far. 10 to 20 seconds, please shoot it on your iPhone. Email it to us. No drugs, no swearing, no nudity, no inappropriate branding. Get those over quickly, and we'll get them on TV right away.
Do we care if it's in vertical mode or landscape mode?
I mean, we prefer the horizontal
shot. Turn it over, man.
Yeah, we absolutely prefer the horizontal, but we'll take what we can get.
All right, Adam, thank you very much. Adam Hawk, EP, executive producer. The Smack Off is now 16 days out, June 19th. This guy had a golden ticket. He lost his golden ticket. I said, do not take it personally. Get back to work. Come back in and just rip it right back. Let's find out if he can do it. We go to L.A. Matt in L.A. What's up, Matt?
Romy, thanks for the vine. So you always tell us, Jungle Business runs 365. And this past Sunday... Yes, Sunday, Jungle Business was booming as your boy Matt in L.A. hooked himself a goat on a Sunday afternoon, giving every lady clone a special Sunday treat. As a matter of fact, I got all the clones a free. That's right, free. 2.5-minute instructional fitness video from one Brad in Kukrona, along with a barely intelligible roid rage-fueled rant that was all about your boy, Matt, in L.A. The world watched as Brad struggled to do 8 weighted squats while rocking a pair of sweet capri pants. Male yoga pant shorts. Most likely purchased at the local Forever 21. At least that's what my daughter tells me, Tim. So you're welcome, clones. Unfortunately for all of us, though, that mental midget masquerading as little Jack LaLanne has already pulled down the self-emasculating free fitness tutorial video. Probably to try to make it go away. But we all know the internet is in ink, you mindless mimbo. So keep doing you, Braddington teddy bear. But at least get it up to a respectable 12 reps, would you? That's all I got, Jimmy. Aloha, mi de hola. Outro!
Matt in L.A. Well, just screaming outro louder than you normally do is not going to get the ticket back. Might as well bring you back one more time, Adam Hawk. Adam, do you have any idea what he was just talking about?
Yeah, Brad posted a video on Sunday, and you get tagged in these things, and you just see them relentlessly because they get a lot of traction. And this was one of those instances. And it was a 2-minute instructional video to Matt on how to unclog a toilet where he was using a barbell as a plunger and doing squats and unclogging a imaginary toilet with a barbell. It was pretty good. It was pretty funny. There was also another part where he showed how to not have a googly eye, I believe. I think Brad is accusing Matt of having googly eyes. This is just what I gleaned from the video. So he took off his sunglasses and showed how two different eyes should look. It was entertaining. I don't know why he's taking it down. I didn't know that Matt would bring it up on the show because, according to Twitter, it didn't go well for Matt. I'm impartial. I just look at the content. But I was surprised that Matt brought that up.
All right, then. Thank you very much, Adam. You might break your own record of appearing 3 times in one segment. We'll see. Yeah, okay. Full transparency, I had not seen the video, and it's since been taken down. I don't know. Why would Brad do that? Because it's smack off season, man. He's just getting his reps in. He's just getting loose. He's getting ready. Why would Matt bring that up? I don't know. Matt's trying to get back in the field. Matt's got to get his ticket back. He did not get it back today. Matt had it. I ripped it. He came in looking to get it back. It did not happen. So Matt is still on the outside looking in. Brad is still the guy to beat. $5,000 to the winner. Now, unfortunately for Brad, we weren't giving out that prize when he first started stacking these trophies. Otherwise, he'd be 25 grand richer. If I didn't get your telephone call, accept my apology. We'll reset that tomorrow. Huge call today brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way that Capital One is watching out for your money when you are not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. Here is your huge call.
We all say either you got 10 toes in or you're not in at all, right? And we put our hands in a huddle and we say 1, 2, 3, family. And you know, it just dawned on me, like, listen, man, let's stop tiptoeing this line, right? And any change that's been beneficial for Black people in this country, you know, people that didn't look like us was advocating for us and speaking up on our behalf. You know, for instance, Las Vegas is so integrated and we love it as a strip and a place of entertainment now, but that city is like that because Frank Sinatra said in the 60s, look, I know y'all love me performing here, but if you want me to continue to perform here, my buddy over here, Sammy Davis Jr., must be allowed to perform on the same stages and sleep in the same hotels and eat at the same restaurants. And the rest is history. The same thing with the 68 Olympics with John Carlos and Tommy Smith when they protested on the stand. A lot of people have to know that Peter Norman was a citizen of Australia, and he was protesting along with them for human rights. You and I are both old enough to remember MTV as music television, right? When they played videos all day. I just remember being a kid and they were interviewing David Bowie and they were saying how great of a pop star he is and how he has these incredible videos. And he said, well, yeah, I'm a good pop star and I'm a great artist and I got some really good videos, but there's a guy by the name of Michael Jackson that has great music, great videos, and you guys refuse to play him. And I insist that you guys play his music and his videos as well. And from that point, it just moved the needle forward. So I just knew if we wanted true change, if we wanted to support these Black lives and these kids and a generation that has the same complexion as George Floyd, we have to do that together. And I, as a leader, have never asked anyone to do something I'm not willing to do. Jim, if you go back in 2012, the tragedy of Sandy Hook, my basketball team, who was predominantly Black, obviously, we wore green bracelets to pay homage and love and support to those victims of Sandy Hook and their families. I've done every ALS challenge. I've done all the coaches versus cancer. So I was just challenging all the coaches in my profession, football and basketball coaches. Look, let's be real with ourselves, and let's not take ourselves too seriously. Like, we're not good coaches. We're good because we have this guy that's really good that can shoot a basketball or run a football. And we've been able to create a great living, not only for ourselves, but our kids and kids' kids that go down the road. And it's really off the talent and the labor of these student athletes. Let's show them the same act of solidarity by not only speaking out, but doing something. I don't want this to be a hollow lip service PSA and then nothing is ever done with it. Let's show up for them the way they've shown up for us. And that's
powerful message from Lavelle Moton, head basketball coach at North Carolina Central. Thank you for listening. We'll push out our podcast a little bit later on. Look for that too, and I will see you tomorrow. We're out.